Right now, though, I want to talk about travel and international travel in particular. There is nothing like being told you cannot have something to make you long for it and yearn for it. And I'm sure a lot of us are feeling that way about travel right now. I am dreaming about visiting destinations I know I can't afford, places I probably will never actually go to just because they are completely impossible to see right now. And for how much longer does that continue to be the case? And what does international travel look like once it starts easing off? This week, members of the international travel industry held a round table to start working on something of a roadmap back towards normalization, asking questions about how to safely phase back to travel that doesn't require long-term quarantines on either end. Thinking of a friend of mine who had a business trip to Angola that required him to be there for one afternoon's meetings, and it was a nearly two-week trip as a result of the quarantines involved. That's the kind of thing we at some point have got to start moving away from. And what might that look like? To help us understand, with me on the line is Otto de Vries, who is CEO of the Association of Southern African Travel Agents, ASATA. Now, they fall under the body of the World Travel Agents Associations Alliance, and that was one of the bodies that was part of this global roundtable a few days ago. Otto, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pepper. Good afternoon.
There are virtually no places, very, very few, that you can travel to right now without the need for some level of a lengthy quarantine, if they'll let you in at all. Moving away from that, Otto, is it all down to the rollout of vaccines, or is there more than that to the concept of change?
Well, look, I don't think we should underestimate how critical the rollout of vaccinations are going to be in terms of building traveler confidence and as well as giving governments the confidence to reassess a number of the policies and procedures that are currently in place. So there's no doubt in my mind that vaccines are the foundation to rebuilding travel worldwide. Having said that, however, it wouldn't be in isolation. And we've got to recognize that vaccination is part of a process. It's going to be an ongoing matter for all of us, I believe. And as I think we are going to see staggered rollouts over the globe, one can't expect that we're all going to switch on at the same time and in the same way. And that's why it is so critical that we start to find a more coordinated approach to ensure that when the travel sector starts to open, it's done in a manner that is consistent and coordinated and is going to actually ensure that the complexity that we're currently dealing with is dealt with in a more simplified manner. And for me, I think that is the real key work that lies ahead of us now.
Otto, I mean, one of the things that was spoken about a lot, I know, was this issue of quarantine. Right now, even if you had a negative quarantine test on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, even so, if you got on a plane and arrived at some destinations, they would still put you into quarantine for a lengthy period. Is that one of the things that they are moving away from?
Well, absolutely. I think we need to acknowledge that if certain precautions or steps have been taken to mitigate the risk of the transmission of the disease, and one particularly thinks of the success around vaccinations, surely we need to be thinking about this in a very different manner. And I think one of the other problems that we have is the fact that, you know, we're seeing entire countries or blocks of countries that are being touted to not being allowed to travel at this stage because of a number of variants, when in fact these variants are well beyond those borders. I mean, if we look at the scenario that we dealt with, this supposed South African variant, it's not a South African variant at all. The fact that it was found here, and within days it was recognized that it had been found in 75 other countries, that is not because of the transmittal of a particular variant from one country to another. It existed already in multiple destinations and markets. And yet we are continuing to fight that that stigma. And the impact that it's having on our ability to reopen travel for South Africans is immense. So, you know, again, we need to have it on a fact-based and a science-based process. And it needs to be based on individuals, and it can't be based on blocks of regions, countries, or continents, for that matter.
Now, if it needs to be based on individuals, Otto, that means the ability to monitor individuals and to track and verify their personal information comes into play. And that's where people get very, very nervous about how much personal information is available to whom. What sort of position did this round table come to, if any, on juggling those needs for a sort of a micro level of monitoring the potential passenger with their personal privacy concerns?
Well, absolutely, and I think we need to find a bit of balance and common sense in the paranoia here. And I don't mean to be dismissive of the importance of personal information and how critical it is to make sure that information is protected. But if you think about how travel has taken place up until this point, and either that's through a visa application where a lot of personal data is shared in order to get that visa, there is a lot of data that's captured on your passport, which you use as a document to be allowed you to cross borders. And if you think about other parts of Africa where South Africans are often traveling to, it's not uncommon that you are also needed to deliver, for example, a yellow fever vaccination certificate. So it's not as if all of this is new. Of course, we need to ensure that we continue to protect the information and the data. It's just another layer that needs to be incorporated into the existing processes. So, you know, from my point of view, again, it just seems a little bit of unnecessary. Again, I don't want to use the wrong word here, but hysteria. At the end of the day, we have for many, many years understood how to manage and process and engage and deal with these kind of matters. So, you know, we need to just start becoming a little bit more accepting to the fact that COVID is going to be one of those things that's going to be with us for many, many years to come. This is not going to disappear. And it's how we manage it and how we ensure that we do our level best to mitigate the risk of the spread that is going to ensure a successful reopening of the travel industry.
Otto de Vries, thank you so much for joining us, CEO of the Association of SA Travel Agents.